Hi, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr, and how are you today? Good to have you with us. We something a little bit different today. Our guest is a fellow named Brent Buswell, and for the life of me, I can't remember where he's from. Somewhere up northeast, somewhere in Boston or somewhere up in there. But he's quite a musician, has a degree from, is it Juilliard or, well, anyway, one of those, it's all in the interview. I just can't remember all of it. Anyway, he's quite a guy. A young fella, 23, 24 years old, just getting started. And we'll tell you all about that in just a few minutes. Well, what we thought we'd do is play a little of his music. He has an album out, and it is mostly polkas and waltzes. I didn't realize that polkas and waltzes were so big up in that area. But anyway, let's start with this one, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, of course, like you, I can't read the CD, but I'm almost positive that this is the Pennsylvania Polka. Well, many years ago in 1955, when we moved to Houston, the radio station... What was that? I don't know. Anyway, the radio station over in Rosenberg was still playing polkas, and so was the radio station down in El Campo. Those are both little towns out of Houston, and El Campo, Rosenberg station is Spanish now, because they put a good signal in Houston, so they've gone to Spanish. But El Campo, and we go to Padre Island every year, and that's down in South Texas. You get south of Houston, you can hear KULP, El Campo, 1390, a little AM. And on Saturday mornings, they do a little polka show from about 9 to noon. And this guy speaks speaks about half Czech and about half English. I don't know his name. The guy at Rosenberg was Joe Gavranovich over at Rosenberg. Anyway, memories are made of this. Old man's memories die hard, don't they? Let's do, we'll get into Brit's interview in just a second, but a little waltz for you right now. I don't know the name of this waltz. Maybe somebody can... Somebody can tell me the name of this waltz. Hello there. Welcome to this week's edition of our little old show called Blind Like Me. And we're traveling this week to Vermont with a fellow named, is it Britt or Brent? Brent.
Brent.
Brent Buswell. Music major, music musician. In fact, I think Don Patterson introduced me to you or told me about you. He met you at an accordion convention, so you must be an accordion player.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing accordion now for about 12 years. And, let's see, I'm 24 now. I started playing when I was 12. I've always been interested in it, though.
Is that right?
Ever since I was a little kid.
Accordion is such a... To me, I've had looked at one different times. It's kind of a... Compared to a keyboard or guitar or something, would seem like a difficult instrument to play to me.
When I first looked at the accordion, I recognized the keyboard that is played with the right hand because I played... See, I started out on piano when I was about three.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather taught me some things about how to play the piano when I was about three. And so when I first saw the accordion, at least the piano accordion, I recognized the right-hand keyboard as your basic piano keyboard. It was the buttons on the left yeah. hand. I didn't have a clue what those were all about.
Yeah. But soon you figured out that you push one and it makes a chord.
Exactly.
And so you you just like the sound of an accordion, right? I mean, it's something you...
I always loved the way it sounded. And the neat part about it is there are so many different brands of accordions, and they
yeah.
all sound slightly different.
Yeah, well, I've talked to Pat several times. Don and I have known each other 50-something years, and he's been mm-hmm. playing accordion, and we've played music in different jobs. And I've often asked him, God, wouldn't a keyboard be easier? And he said, well, I feel I just like the sound. I like the way an accordion sounds. I like the way it feels. I feel like I'm doing something when I play it.
Yeah, I think I agree there.
Well,
so I pretty much like all keyboarded instruments. Well, I like all instruments anyways.
Don seemed to think, he said that Lawrence Welk or Dick Cantino have nothing on you, that you're as good as any accordion player he's ever heard.
Oh.
And that's saying a lot coming from him, because he's been playing accordion since we were little kids.
Wow.
So you must be a pretty fine accordion guy. You say you're 24?
24, yep.
Were you born totally blind?
Yes. When I first started, from when I was born to when I was about half a year old, I had what is known as shadow vision.
Yeah.
I could have seen, I think I could have seen my reflection maybe in a mirror if I'd looked up close to it. I might have been able to see a light if I was really close to it, but
yeah.
when I was about half a year old, I lost that.
Even lost that. Well, we discuss endlessly on this show if you're going to be blind, are you better to start out that way, or are you better to have some sight? And I have lots of questions. I don't have any answers, but we talk about that all the time here. And so where were you born, sir?
I was born in Springfield, Vermont.
Uh-huh. So you've lived in Vermont all your life.
Not terribly far from where, huh?
You've lived in Vermont all your life, haven't you?
Yes.
So I guess you're quite familiar with maple syrup.
Oh, definitely. I love it.
That they make up there. I do, too. We order some every year from someplace up there. Calls me in the fall and sends it to me. So you're a little child. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Two older brothers.
Both of them have perfect vision?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just luck of the draw that you were the one.
I guess in terms of that expression, yeah. it was definitely.
What do they think?
And my older brothers were always good about helping me out, too.
Oh, yeah. What do they think happened? What caused your blindness? Do they know? Anybody know? Anybody?
It turns out they believe it's something called Norrie's, which is it's a genetic thing. The females carry it, but the males actually are the ones who get it.
Yeah.
And it causes the retinas to detach. And basically, with me, it simply made me go totally blind eventually. But with some people, with some patients they've had, it'll make them go also either deaf or they'll become mentally challenged or both.
Well, I guess we can just thank God neither one of those happened to you, because you're not mentally challenged and your ears seem to be perfectly good.
Thank the Lord, yes.
So, well, you always got to think. You got to deal with what you got, and this is what you got, and you got to deal with it, and you will.
Exactly.
I understand that you're having a little hard time now, but that'll all pass. That'll all get better. Take every opportunity that comes along.
Exactly.
And everything will work out. And so they, what did they do when it was time for you to go to school?
You mean like to elementary and high school?
Yeah, to elementary school, to kindergarten, or wherever they sent you to begin with.
Well, see, at first it looked like I was going to be going to that Perkins School for the Blind. But we decided, no, it would be better if I could grow up near my home, you know, just like all the other kids.
Yeah.
So I was actually the first totally blind student to have gone to public school here in Ludlow.
Ludlow, Vermont, first totally blind student.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Ludlow, what size town is Ludlow, Vermont?
I think the normal population here is about 2,300.
And when the leaves start turning, it swells. It gets lots
of
Yeah,
when winter comes along, the population gets huge around here.
Sure.
With the ski resorts and everything.
So 2,300. So your parents and you virtually knew most of the folks. You knew everybody in town, right? Kinda?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What did your father do?
For work?
Ah.
Actually, there used to be a store here in town called the IGA,
uh-huh.
And he worked at that. He was he worked as a butcher there, and now he works at the other one that's over in Londonderry, Vermont, which, mm-hmm. ironically, that's the one he started at originally.
And so your father is a butcher?
Yep.
So we
and
had...
right now, actually, he's also a dairy manager most of the time now.
So we had lots of good cuts of meat to eat when you were a kid?
Indeed.
She did. My daddy worked for Nabisco Company. And at that time,
cool.
At that time, Nabisco baked bread. And by God, we may not have had much else to eat, but we had bread. Every night he'd come home with a loaf of bread or a package of hot dog buns or something. And so your dad and your mama was a stay-home mom or what?
She worked, she's had a number of different occupations. She's done cleaning for the different people that come up that rent condos.
Oh, yeah?
On the mountain. And she's also worked at, she had an occupation at a nursing home here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And now she works at this factory in a town called Cavendish, not too far from us.
Yeah.
And she does different jobs there.
So they sent you to, they started you out in public school. Was there anybody there to teach you Braille?
Yes, the Vermont Association of the Blind had several teachers that would go around the state working with different blind students. And one of them, her name is Kathy Lawrence, she was, I think, one of the best of the best in that.
Now, is she blind or can she see?
She could see. She has 20/20 vision.
But they did attempt to teach you or start teaching you Braille as a child.
Yeah, I started learning about Braille when I was about 4 years old.
Really?
Before I was even in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Did you take to it pretty good? Are you a pretty good Braille reader?
I am now, definitely, but for a while, it took me a little bit to get the basics of it, but once everything clicked, I can remember I was talking with this Kathy Lawrence about a year ago, and we were remembering, you know, thinking back to when I was in, say, preschool and then kindergarten when she started teaching me Braille. And she says, I can remember, Brent, that I had to keep coming up with stuff to Braille for you because you kept getting ahead.
Well, that's good. But you were the only child in that public school, only blind child in this this town, only blind person in public school.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you had, by that time, you had made some friends with neighborhood kids or kids around, and you knew some kids in the first grade.
Definitely.
And so did you ever go to a blind school, or did you do the whole thing through in your public school?
I went to public school right from the beginning right up to the end of it.
Never went to a blind school?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so they started teaching you Braille. At what age did you realize that you were fascinated with music?
Actually, for pretty much my whole life, I've been fascinated with music. I can remember when I was real little, say even like 2 or 3, whenever my mom would be doing stuff here around the house, she'd always put on records for me that might be, you know, children's music or Sesame Street records or even just regular rock or whatever type of music she happened to grab, and I'd sit there and just listen.
Mm-hmm. And you and
kept me occupied.
So that kept you occupied. Let me guess. I bet you might have even rocked back and forth a little to those songs.
As I recall, I think I did. I know sometimes I'd dance to them.
We all do. We all they're stimulating. They make you want to jump around, and they make you want to. They make you, they excite you, the beat of it.
Especially those polkas.
Polkas, do they still do a lot of polkas up there where you are? Yeah.
The venues themselves around here aren't, there aren't quite as many of them. I mean, for the jobs I can get, though, it doesn't go that badly up here. But In terms of your big polka festivals, there's usually not that many of them around this area.
Yeah, well,
when you get into Massachusetts, there are.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that in I had a friend named Chris Zinchenko who lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and he brought some stuff down. In fact, he had a little old polka band that was on 8-track tape, and we got it. We took the tape out, and we were able to salvage the music. The polka.
Oh, that was nice.
It was. It's called. His style is called Manitowoc style of polkas. So I guess I didn't realize there were different styles of polkas. I guess there are.
I didn't at first either.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I had no idea just how broad of a field the polka field was.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got just in the Polish polkas, there's so many different styles. I can think of a few right offhand. You've got like your Connecticut hop, your East Coast style, Chicago push. I mean, there's like three right there.
You know, you'd think, and I've often thought about this, wonder why, you'd think that either Sirius or XM, one of the two, would have a polka channel.
But, you know, actually, on the internet, there is a polka station. There are two of them that do polka music of all types, like 24/7.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But you'd think one of the satellite companies would eventually, because eventually what we're going to get into is very niche programming.
Yeah.
Like have you fooled with XM or Sirius, either one?
I've heard of XM.
Yeah.
I know actually. On our satellite dish, we got the satellite TV here.
Yeah, you get Dish Network?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Sirius music channels are up there.
Yeah, I've seen those. I love those.
Yeah, from, I think, they're like 9,906. No, I can't remember, but anyway, it's way, way up high, but there's 40 or 50 of them up there.
Oh, yeah.
And very selective sort of programming. I mean, especially in the rock field. Any type of rock music you think you might like. I think Sirius, if I'm not mistaken, Sirius has an Elvis channel.
They do. Actually, I happened onto it not too long ago.
Yeah, and all they play is Elvis music 24 hours a day. But you'd think they'd have a polka channel. Anyway, we'll write them, and I'm sure they'll pay a lot of attention to us.
That would be awesome.
It would be. What they need is a channel for blind people. But anyway, I'm serious. So what they need, we need a channel on XM Radio or Sirius Satellite for the blind. The blind channel. We'll call it OOS TV, Out of Sight TV.
Hey, that sounds really, really cool.
I'm working on it. That's my goal, but we'll talk about that later. So your love for polkas and accordion, that all fit together so nicely. That dovetailed together, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You liking polkas, and a lot of polkas kind of being played somewhere you were. Did you get into radio when you were young? Did you listen to the radio a lot?
Oh, I always listened to the radio.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got in trouble, listening to the radio. Anyway, so they began giving you piano lessons at what age?
I took piano lessons at a couple of different ages. I took from another woman in Vermont when I was about 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old. And then when I was about, 13, I met up with a music teacher named Ned Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Townsend, Vermont, and he didn't really teach me just piano lessons. He taught me pretty much a whole different sort of things about music. Music theory, ear training, history, You know, different performance techniques and things like that. I went and studied for him. I studied with him for about 6 years.
This first lady was teaching you to play the classical type of piano?
Yeah, we really didn't. I didn't take from her for too long. I mean, we worked on scales and basic melodies.
Yeah.
We would have hit some classical music. I know that she, when I last went to her, she could play music by Scott Joplin really, really well.
Oh, really?
I used to love listening to her play Scott Joplin's music.
That's the kind of stuff you want to get into.
That's fun music.
That's,
I play some of it on the accordion, actually.
Well, of course, running scales is a thankless task, but it's got to be done. to get that speed up. You know, you got to do that in order to be fast enough to play what you want to play.
Oh, especially if you're doing music by composers like Liszt and Rachmaninoff and even Chopin at times.
Yeah. All right, so you met this guy when you were about 12 years old, but you had gotten an accordion by then.
Yes. My grandfather, he gave me my first full-sized accordion when I was 12 years old, one that he'd had for quite some time.
And he played a little himself, right? Did you say?
He used to play the accordion, too, when I was younger. He played a lot.
And so he showed you some things on the accordion?
Some very basic things, like we talked about how to play the left hand, you know, properly and things like that. A lot of what I learned on the accordion, though, I just picked up by experimenting with it.
That's the way most people learn to play, is by fooling with it. And, of course, you got to get some basics down. You have to know how to, with a guitar, you have to know, of course, how to tune, and you have to have some basics. But most people who play well spend a lot of time experimenting, woodshedding, or whatever they call it, noodling, we used to call it. All right, let's take a break. We want to talk about your high school years and your music, your furthering your music education. Brent Buswell is our guest. Back in just a second with more of our little show called Blind Like Me. Hang on.
Made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
This week on Blind Sight, I'd like to talk about search engines, and one search engine in particular, Google. It's very easy to use, and there are two neat features that I'd like to just highlight for you. When you go to Google and you type into the edit box the search terms that you want, there's two buttons underneath if you tab down. One is, of course, is the regular search button, but then there's a button that says, I'm feeling lucky. And if you click on the I'm feeling lucky button, what that button will do is take you to the page where you will find the terms that you want, and you won't have to sift through all those other searches. So it'll find you the best match for your search. If you're looking for two words that are right next to each other, let's say, for example, you're looking up the word bubblegum, for example. What you would do is you would go to the edit box in Google, and you would type in the plus sign, then you would type in the word bubble, and then you would type in the plus sign again, and then you would type in the word gum. And that will find you any pages that have the two words bubble and gum right next to each other. Google is a very nice search engine. I would give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. www.google.com. For Blind Sights, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blindsighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blindsight.
Buswell is our guest from, I can't remember the name of the town in Vermont. What is it?
Ludlow, Vermont.
Ludlow, Vermont. And Brent is a music school graduate, which we'll get into. High school, did you play in the high school band?
Yeah, I played in both elementary and high school bands. And I also was in the elementary and high school chorus.
So you sing some also?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they have you play in band, in the actual high school band?
In the band, I was doing stuff, pretty much a little bit of everything that had to do with percussion.
Okay, so you were the percussionist, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that involved drumming? That involved the snare drum or the what?
Snare drum, bass drum at times, definitely the timpani or the kettle drums.
I love
playing those.
In Ludlow, did they have a little football team or not?
No, but, you know, we'd play for, our high school band was a concert band.
Uh-huh.
And a marching band. So we'd play, there were like four concerts a year, and then we'd have a few parades each year, too, that we used to play.
Uh-huh. And
that was always fun.
And, of course, did you march with the guys, with the band?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
They always had somebody to guide me.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did they do that? How did they guide you?
The way that we did that was somebody would walk, say, like on my left or right side, kind of behind me, and they'd hold on to, like, my shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd just be up there because it wouldn't interfere with me playing the drums or the cymbals or whatever. And it worked out quite nicely that way.
Now, was this person that was guiding you, were they a player or not?
I think in most cases it was usually another member of the band.
Just somebody, yeah. And you hope that you'd get a girl to do it. That's what I'd hope.
I think a couple times that happened.
In fact, I'd ask for one. I'd say, you know, I'd like to be led by a girl. You always want to do that, or I did.
Put in that special request.
So they guided you down the field, and you marched. And I guess the concert pieces, you just had to memorize them, didn't you? You couldn't be reading your music there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I'm sure they loved you with all your talent in high school.
Oh, it was so much fun working with that band.
Did you get to do any private recitals, any private things in high school, play in any dance bands or any of that kind of stuff?
A lot of the stuff I did involving, say, like the accordion and things like that, I did outside of high school.
Yeah.
So there were some things in high school that I did do with the accordion and sometimes piano.
Yeah. Okay, so you graduated high school, did fairly well in your grades. Were your grades good? You do academically pretty well, or what?
Yes.
Of course, we had computers by the time you got out of high school. We have talking computers by then. You were born in 80 or 81. 80.
Yes, 81.
81, so we're up to the mid-90s now. We had, your high school was, I guess your books, how did you do books? You read those in Braille, or somebody read them to you, or what?
For the most part, and this is including throughout elementary too,
yeah.
My books were Braille. Now, toward the end, we encountered problems. For some reason, they just, you know, they weren't, some of the books I needed Braille weren't getting done. For instance, one thing, and this is one of those books I really could have used, and that was my calculus book. That wasn't, but my whole chemistry book and stuff like that was done.
Well, RFP&D's probably done that by now. We probably won't have that problem anymore. But were your grades fairly good in high school, or what?
Mostly straight A's.
Really? Mostly straight A's, playing music on the side, working with the band, and
having a heck of a time.
Having a big time. Graduated high school and decided to go to which music school did you go to? Juilliard? Berkeley?
Berkeley College of Music.
Berkeley College of Music. Did you get a scholarship?
Yeah, I applied for several scholarships when I was a senior in high school, and I got quite a number of them. And worked out really nice. At first it was a little tough. See, they don't have an accordion major at Berkeley.
Really?
And that's really what I wanted to do. But I took piano there, majored in piano as my principal instrument, and the degree that I got was in a thing called professional music, which is where you can take classes from all the different majors they offer and combine them into your own course of study.
Okay.
So mine emphasized performance, business, and some private teaching.
All right. What did you? This is a 4-year degree or 6-year? What? 4 years.
4-year.
4-year degree. And so you moved to Berkeley, is in Boston, right?
Yes.
And so you moved to Boston on your own. This was the first time you'd been away from home, really.
I'd been away from home several times before, but never for this, you know, length of a time period.
Never
at
long
college.
Time. Did you stay in the dorm there or what?
Yep, stayed right in the dorms, and it worked out really nice.
Do you have a guide dog or you use a cane?
I use a cane.
So they someone oriented you to the campus there and before school or what?
Yeah, my first year, about the first week of, I think right before the semester began there, we had the orientation, and there was a mobility instructor from a place called the Carroll Center.
Uh-huh.
And he came in and helped me get around the place and basically just had a couple of mobility lessons with him, and that's all it took.
That's all it would take. And so you learned to go to your classes independently, go to meals independently. So you did most things on your own.
Definitely.
And
everything worked out nice.
Of course, Boston is not that far from your home.
About 3.5 hours, I think.
Is it that far?
It's not too bad. Once we drove it enough, it didn't seem like it took any time at all.
Yeah. But they took you and left you at college. It's time to. Did you do it in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think what were your plans? Did you want to teach? Did you think you could get a job in a symphony orchestra or something or what?
Basically, part of my goal is to, you know, travel around and perform like I've been doing, perhaps maybe on a slightly grander scale. The biggest thing for me recently was playing at that accordion convention in Texas.
Is that right?
But basically, I'm willing to do that as an accordionist, being a soloist, or with a band. And if a band needed a keyboard player or even percussionist, I'd be willing to do stuff like that. And I'm learning the trumpet now and other instruments.
But those symphony jobs are difficult to get, aren't they? I mean, they're hard to obtain, from what
I haven't really aimed at those so much. If one came up, I'd grab it, but I haven't really targeted those so much.
Because that isn't really what you want to do.
It's not my top goal, but if the opportunity came up, I definitely would take it.
Yeah, because they pay well.
Oh, yes.
They pay nicely, but there's. I understand there are, if a percussionist job came open in the Boston Symphony, there'd be 300 people to apply, from what I hear.
That sounds about right.
Those jobs are difficult to obtain. So why try? And of course they're gonna. I don't know. When if there are any? Are there? Do you know of any blind people that are tenured in a symphony orchestra?
I can't think of any right offhand, but I'm sure there. Over time, there must have been some.
Surely we'll hear from one asking that question. Surely somebody knows one. You want to do solo performances? You want to do? You have a little show worked up, or at what?
Basically, in terms of performing, I do a whole variety of different music. I play, of course, the polkas, and I do let's say Polish and Scandinavian music. And I do big band, and I like to play what we call novelty music, which is like some of the technical pieces that a lot of the accordion students had to learn.
Uh-huh.
And I do a lot of Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I'm willing, like I said, to perform as a soloist or with a band, if ever that comes up. I love playing with bands, too.
Actually, you haven't been out of college that long. You're just now trying to figure out what's going on, right? I mean, really.
Yeah, things are starting to kind of take shape here now.
Well, I understand that you're, somebody told me that you're fixing to go get married.
Yeah, next June.
Well, that's going to change your life. Where did you meet this lady that you're marrying?
I met her at there was a thing called the Summer Music Institute for Blind Students. They had it, when it first started out, they held it in Bridgeport, Connecticut, at the University of Bridgeport. And I attended for the, they had it in the summer. It went for 3 weeks. I attended as a student three times, and in my second time there, that's where I met met my fiance.
And her name
She's
is?
She's also totally blind.
Her name is?
Krista Brooks.
Krista.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty name. And she plays, what does she play? What instruments does she play?
She actually plays a little bit of everything, but I think her main instruments are piano and trumpet. She's very good with the trumpet and an amazing singing voice.
And so that's why you're learning trumpet from her?
Mm-hmm. And in exchange, I'm going to give her some accordion lessons.
Okay, I bet she'll love that.
We've already started. I can't believe how well she's doing already.
Where does she live?
She lives down in Pennsylvania.
So
I'm
you're
going to be moving down there next year.
You're going to move down to Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's got a job, doesn't she?
Yeah, right now she's working. She just started, like a few months ago, teaching music lessons at a private Christian school. I think it's called Champion Christian School. It's a nice place. I've actually had the opportunity to see it. And I guess things, really, from what I'm hearing, things are going very well there. And it works out good because where we're going to live, it's right near that. So I might even try to see if I can, you know, eventually, if not there, maybe just even teach lessons right from the house, too, if I have to.
Now, what town in Pennsylvania is this?
Where we're going to live is a town called Donegal.
Now, how far is that from one of the big cities?
Let's see. It's in the same county as, like, Greensburg and Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's a big city.
What's that?
Pittsburgh is a big city.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You know, I know a couple of people who have done exactly what you talked about, ended up not being able to find a job and ended up teaching from their home and have done quite well at that. And I can put you in touch with them. I also know a fellow named Raleigh Hudson, who is quite a keyboard player. In fact, he is a national representative for Yamaha.
Oh, really?
And I want to give you his phone number. He may be able to steer you onto some things. You never know what life may bring. And you never know, like I said, you want to take advantage of all the opportunities you can. And I remember when I took every job they offered me. I don't have to do that anymore, but I did at one time. Somebody called.
In my case, too, I've pretty much told people now, I'm open to, you know, I'll never give up performing, but if I have to take something else on the side to help supplement income, I'm open to anything.
Oh, you can make a living playing music. I did it, and I'm not nearly the musician you are, but I made a living playing music, but I had to play in a lot of places that weren't exactly the kind of place you'd want to take your granddaughter, you know?
I understand that.
I had to play in a lot of places that weren't exactly, of course, at the time I was probably enjoying them a good bit, but that's neither here nor there. But if I can make a living playing music, anybody, because I'm not, I'm a good chord man, guitar chord man. Mm. I know what I'm doing. I know the diminished and augmented, and I know how to move them around, and I sing a little bit. Used to sing pretty good. Don't anymore because I've gotten too old. Anyway, let me let you go, and what I want to do is check on you in about a year and kind of see how you and your new wife, maybe we can get you both on the phone and see how you like married life, see how your new career is going in down in Pennsylvania, and just kind of do that in about a year from now. You're getting married in June?
June of 2006.
Oh, June of 2006, which is next year.
Right.
So this will be, a little premature, a year would be, wouldn't it? You won't be married then. Why are you waiting so long?
Well, part of it was we could have gone ahead with it this year. In fact, we were going to this June, but it wouldn't have given me, I didn't have enough time to get everything together to get, you know, to move down there. And plus, I wanted to wait until we were both a little bit more established in what we were doing.
Yeah.
And it looks like things, like I said, things are starting to shape up really nice.
Man, if you've made the decision, do it.
What's that?
If you've made the decision, go for it.
Exactly.
If you got a 50% chance one way or the other. It's either going to work or it isn't.
Yeah, that's how I see it too.
And you'll do fine. Your attitude's good. You're plenty intelligent. You'll do fine. You may not think that now, but you'll do just fine. You're back with your parents right now, right?
Mm-hmm. We're back, and I'm basing everything I do right from Ludlow right for the time being. So
yeah,
it's working pretty well. I mean, the second CD I've got. I released a new CD this past September.
Really?
And I've been selling that now for about the last half a year, and so far it's going pretty nice.
Now, where did you do that? On your computer?
I recorded the CD, actually, down in Pennsylvania with a guy named Al Meixner. He was the engineer, and his son, Alex Meixner, who's also an accordionist, he played on the album with me. He also played drums and bass. And did a couple of keyboard parts.
So this
and,
is...
They have been a huge help.
So this is your second CD. Do you have a website?
I'm working on one now.
Working on that now.
Trying to come up with something, you know, simple, but, you know, that people can get around real easy.
Yeah, I tell you what, dude. Let me take a break, and we'll catch up with you in just before you get married, maybe next year. But I want to just hold on a minute. I want to give you my address. I want you to send me a CD. I want to hear. I'd like to maybe add to this show something you recorded. How would that be?
Excellent.
All right. Well, we'll give you my address, and after the break, we'll come back and play a little Brent Buswell music, sir. Hold on just a minute.
Best about the Blind Handyman List. great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
You can almost hear the air going in and out of the tone chamber, can't you, with a compressor going. A friend of ours named Brent Buswell from Ludlow, Vermont, accordion player, piano player. I'd like to hear him play piano. Accordions are nice, but I'd like to hear him play some keyboard. Let's do one more quickly in before we close. Brent Buswell, and quite a player. Here's a little gospel song called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Buswell, what a picker, huh? Yeah, we'll have to check on him in a year or so when he gets getting married for the first time. Not that this won't be the last time. I wasn't implying that. I was just saying he's just embarking on a new life. Brent Buswell, wish him well. Ludlow, Vermont. And he'll probably do well. I've got a friend that plays percussion in the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And what I really ought to do is hook him up with Will Hudgens, because they're not that far apart. Maybe his parents would bring him down. Will would enjoy him. Well, I'm trying to do that. See if we can't get him going. He's a good musician. And like I said, if I can make a living playing music, anybody can. Well, yeah, I appreciate you listening. I hope you'll come back next week. If you're listening on ACB Radio, Blind Handyman will probably be next. I think this week is Cooking in the Dark, isn't it? With Dr. Dale Campbell from Houston. Good heavens knows what he'll cook. But anyway, thanks for listening. And if you'd like to be a guest on Blind Like Me or the Blind Handyman Show, we really, really always need guests for the Handyman Show. Always need people who are doing handyman things. There are a lot of them. We just don't know too many of them. Well, we know a lot of them, but we use 40 or so a year. You got to remember that. So either one, Phil at philpar.net, P-H-I-L at P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R.net. We'll get you in touch with me anytime. Love to have you. Okay. We'll see you next week. I got to go make Pat a copy of this accordion disc CD, don't I, before they come this afternoon. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. More of Blind Like Me. Phil at philpar.net. Email us, all right?